Praise the Lord, everybody. Thank you. Good to see you on a Wednesday night. Looking forward to this Sunday. Bishop Todd Nichols is going to be with us again. Now, I'm not saying anything, and I'm not giving you the privilege of getting a weather report from me. I know there's a storm coming. First of all, the major part is going to be in the Midwest. Yeah, we're supposed to get 5, 6 inches, 10 inches. I don't even know. I presume that'll be throughout the day. So you just decide if you want to come or not. I don't know what it'll be doing Sunday morning. Again, I'm not picking on anybody. I just feel the same way all the time. As for me and my house, we're going to be in the house of the Lord. If I may ask you, this prayer I gave you about Ukraine, this is a humanitarian crisis. Never in the history of our world has another nation knocked out every power grid they have in the country has been hit multiple times. I can't remember the number amount of strikes in just the last year. It's been in the thousands. They had two men today who died because they're working 30 and 40 hours straight to try and get power restored. It's a humanitarian crisis. You got 3 million people in Kyiv alone that did not have power in 5-degree weather. No power, no heat, no water, nothing. To me, it's just unconscionable that our global community would just allow that to continue to happen. And it makes me very angry. Not that anybody cares, but it just does. And I don't know. I'm just of the mindset, if you're a human being and that doesn't affect you, you might not be as human as you think you are. And you got people online that are constantly mocking them and laughing about it. It's just sick, sick, sick people. I don't know. I just can't even process it personally. But so just pray. I've prayed that God will supernaturally give them heat. When you got children and women and babies, this is not a good situation. They restored 1,600 apartments to power. They still have 5,000 apartment buildings in Kyiv alone. They have no power. Every major city in Ukraine is black when it's 5 degrees outside. So just please pray for those people. And I will be happy to report to you that you probably don't know Pastor Anthony Mangan. Many of you don't. He pastors the Pentecostals of Alexandria in Alexandria, Louisiana. They have a church of about 4,000 people. And they've been doing a huge conference every year called Because of the Times. And he has been connected somehow in Ukraine. Anyway, they paid for Pastor Sergey and their whole family to come to BOTT. And next week, they're driving back up here. They're going to be with us on the morning of the 8th. I know we have that meeting afterwards, but their family's going to be here. And I want him just to share his heart with you. And I'm trying to line them up with other meetings while they're here. So hopefully they can, collect an offering or something to send them back. They could choose not to go back like everybody else. They could choose just never go back. What are they going to do? You can't arrest them. But they're going to go right back because that's where God's placed them. 600,000 people left the city of Kyiv, just that the capital city, in January alone because of power. 600,000 people. That's Ashtabula County times 6 plus. Matthew chapter 5, verse 2. I just want you to understand, that's all. So when you get in your car and your heat's not working great, be careful. Thank God for what you have. If your house is drafty, thank God that it's just drafty and you have heat and water. Can you imagine millions of people that can't flush toilets for a week, weeks on end? It's a really bad situation. I'm sorry. I'll move on. Matthew 5, 2, and he opened his mouth, and he taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake." I want to preach, I think Colin's praying, just on the topic, are you blessed or messed? Are you blessed or messed? Go ahead and pray.
Jesus, we thank you, God, for bringing us here safely. Thank you, Lord, for the gas stations not far away to fill our tanks. Thank you for the vehicles, Lord, that we have to even get us from point A to point B. I thank you, Jesus, for the man of God who's come here today prepared and willing to deliver a word, Jesus. And I pray that you'd give him utterance, Lord, to deliver it just as you would want him to.
Oh,
and I
yes,
pray that
Lord,
most
hallelujah,
importantly, we would keep our hearts, our minds, and our spirits and our ears open to receive anything and everything that it is you want us to receive. May we not hinder you in any way. And in the wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You've stood a long time. Thank you. Let me go back, if I could have your attention, for a few minutes tonight. I did forget to tell you my baby boy turned 15 on Sunday. I forgot to announce that. He's still my baby boy. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Not the proud, not the self-sufficient, but those who know they need God. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Not those who numb their pain, but those who bring their brokenness to Him. The next five verses. Blessed are the meek, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers. These are our all surrendered people. You say surrendered, sure. You're not going to make peace with people you don't want to make peace with until you've surrendered to the Lord. Meek, that's weakness according to the world, to have a meek and quiet spirit. Those that desire the truth of the Word of God. Those that show mercy. And then the pure in heart. These are surrendered people. And then, of course, blessed are the persecuted. Sounds like an oxymoron. I'm blessed if I'm persecuted. According to the scripture, you are. Blessed are you and men shall revile you. When they go online and they say all manner of evil and wickedness against you, the Bible says you are blessed. When you got people that are close to you that do nothing but speak down or evil or ill or odd about you, the Bible calls you blessed. When they persecute you, the scripture says you are blessed. When they say all manner of evil against you. Now listen. You gotta understand, because We are programmed to think if the masses agree one way, well, the masses must be right and there must be something wrong with us. Blessed are those when they say all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Jesus opens his mouth in this text, and it's as if he turns the entire world upside down. What he describes as blessed doesn't look like what the culture, our culture, their culture, calls success, comfort, freedom, or any of those things. What he's describing as blessed is completely contrary to everything we've ever heard or know and everything that we still hear. And so they call these the Beatitudes, and they're not slogans. You can call them a spiritual diagnosis, if you would. They have a way of looking into our lives and seeing exactly who we are. But the key word is blessed, because everybody wants to be blessed. Brother Johnny prayed it tonight. He said, Lord, bless this offering. Now, does God just bless the offering because we pray it? Or does God give us in his word the way that he blesses what we give? He blesses those that cheerfully give, not begrudgingly. He blesses those that give according to what the word says to give. Now, I need you to hang on with me here. And so verse 12, it says, "And rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets that were before you." So he goes farther and he says, blessed are you when you're persecuted, mocked, misunderstood, spoken against for his name's sake. Why? Because heaven's reward outweighs any reward you can get in this earth. Sadly, I don't know that a whole lot of people are convinced of that. Sadly, I don't know that we really latch on to that promise or those blessings, if you please. The things we call blessings are just so far outside of what the scripture describes as being blessed. Now, I'm going to go somewhere, so you want to kind of work with me. Some of you, I see your phones glaring in your glasses. Yeah, not good. Thank God for that glare. You see, on that note, how do you expect God to bless you if you don't apply yourself? How do you expect God to bless you if you don't those who hunger and thirst after righteousness? So when we embrace the word, when we digest it and receive it, that's hungering and thirsting after righteousness. When we're not applying ourselves to the word, we're not hungry for it. That's just plain and simple. And God does not bless those types of things. Jesus is very clear about what blessings look like. And he's just as clear about what blessings do not look like. Messes aren't blessed. I'm going to explain it to you. God cannot bless liars. Unfortunately, many people that lie, it's become such a lifestyle to them that they can look you in the face and they can say, I swear, and they're liars. The problem is, when you have the Holy Ghost, you can quickly discern a liar. I had someone today, I just didn't have the tolerance or the mood for it. I said, can you please call me? Waited a while, texted me back. I'm busy right now, I will later. I said, you're not busy. You're just making excuses already. But whenever you get to it, go ahead. God cannot bless liars, and liars, their world will never change. God cannot bless irresponsible people. The Bible talks a lot about stewardship. We're supposed to be good stewards of what we have. Reckless, irresponsible people cannot receive God's blessing. See, we've convinced ourselves that when somebody gives you money, it's a blessing. Now, in some cases, it might be. But only when it's done and you see the results of obedience. So it will follow your willingness to be obedient to the Lord. I'm always amazed at, I see people on social media and they start anonymously pleading for money and help. And people just start, oh, give me your Venmo, give me your, let me, I think they're the dumbest people in the world. You don't even know this person. You're hearing a sob story. But because we are incapable of rationalizing and we are hyper-emotional and hypersensitive people by nature, and it's compiled because we live in a very hypersensitive world. We don't think things through. I remember the first time someone come by here one day, it pulled in, they said, hey, I'm on my way to, I don't know what it was, Louisiana. And I had to go out Pennsylvania for a family funeral, and I don't even have enough gas. All I want is gas. All I want is gas. I'm thinking, well, that's honorable enough. I mean, can't fault somebody for wanting gas. So I took him down to the gas station. I'm not giving you money, but I took him down there. Told him, I said, fill it up, put it on the church tab. Some of you are like, church has a tab? Nope. Trust me, if you try and show up, they won't give it to you unless without calling me first. We had people doing that too. And then it wasn't just a couple days later, someone else come rolling by. Hey, I'm on my way through. I was in New York for this, and I just need some gas to get back. And I'm like, And then about a week later, another story. And it's like they teach each other. And I finally realized what they're doing is they're getting gas, they're draining their tank, and they're selling the gas for drugs. But it's not wise. I'm going to move on past this because I don't want to bore you too much. It's not wise for us just to get hypersensitive when there's a need. Can I make a very real statement to you tonight? Most people have created their situations. They're not victims. I'm going to pause for a moment. Now, I'm going to get some people really upset at me, and I don't mean to. But in order for me to do this justice, I've got to be very real with you. Every single parent's not a victim. There are single parents that have gone through things outside of their control, and they couldn't control that. I respect that. But everyone's not a victim. See? I didn't get a whole lot of support with that at all. Everybody that is living and scraping by week after week is not a victim. Sometimes they're just irresponsible. I'll never forget the lady. I walked into the house years ago. Walked in to visit them. House was cold. First thing I'm sorry, it's cold in here. We're out of propane. We don't have no fuel. I did it long enough at that point. Some of y'all be on the phone, oh, Pastor, can we give him propane? I just say, stop being stupid. And we walked in the living room. I saw the 72-inch flat-screen television. I said, I think you ought to sell it. And then they began to tell me how they had every video game console that has ever been made, showed me the library. I said, you probably need to sell some video games so you can pay for your gas. You're not a victim when you're irresponsible with your spending habits. Here's the one, some of you will hate me for this one. You'll hate me for it. Not really strongly, but just mildly. I love the people who are looking for a place to live. Oh, I've got nowhere, I'm getting kicked out. You know, my landlord's just a big meanie. Well, you probably didn't pay your rent, but okay, let's keep going. But I need a place that takes four dogs. I think you need to get rid of the dogs. If you don't have money for dog food, I see people on social media pleading for dog food. The dogs haven't eaten in a week, they said. Get rid of the dogs. That's irresponsible. If you don't have the money to feed animals, you need to get rid of them. Can I preach for a second? Listen to me. The reason God doesn't bail us out of these situations, there's a reason God just doesn't show, have someone show. You might get a little bit here and there, but there's a reason it's not turning around, because you're not being responsible. You're not being a good steward, and God cannot bless that. He can't bless that. He's got to see us being a good steward of what he's given us before he can bless it. And good stewards are good givers. I'm just saying. I had someone call me a couple weeks ago. I don't remember. They didn't ask me for anything, but it was probably hinting. I don't even remember, to be honest with you. You hear someone that's just this stuff, and they've been they needed, I don't know, all kind of money for rent. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how you get 9 months behind on your rent. I mean, I don't know. I just don't know. And you know what I said to them? I said, sounds like you need to start listening and paying your tithes. Now, you might think I'm cruel, but I've dealt with this stuff for years. Years. I'm not trying to sound like a meanie. God gave us a formula to live a blessed life. He promised to provide for us and to take care of us. His word does not fail. But when we don't live according to God's word, he does not and cannot bless our mess. I mean, how many years do you have to go hearing that God will bless you if you will give God what he said is his? And he does bless it. I had somebody who, we sold the other old vehicle we had. I wanted $3,900 for it. He comes and, of course, he's, I got $3,500, that's it. And I was thinking about telling him, well, I'll give you the vehicle. I'll hold on to the title for a couple weeks, and you give me another $200 and we'll. But then I thought, you know, no, okay. I said, I'll take it. And I told him, I said, I'll tell you. I said, God will make it up. A little bit later, he goes, you know, it's funny that you said God will make it up. I said, why? He goes, well, he said, the reason I'm short, he said, because a friend of ours, her husband passed, or his husband or father, I don't know, and she didn't have the money for the funeral, so we gave her $400 for the funeral. And I took $400 off the vehicle. And he immediately compared that to God's blessing. Why? Whether you're in church or not, when you give, God will bless it. You don't have to be saved to reap the blessings of God. His promises are his promises. They're not predicated on things. And some don't have can't really grasp that. The Bible doesn't say blessed are the fornicators. God can't bless that. It doesn't say blessed are the unequally yoked. One of the number one things I've seen now for years, as long as we've been here, is no matter what, people will still just date out of the church. They'll date unequally yoked people. They won't care. God cannot bless a relationship that's unequally yoked. You know what will happen? People get into those relationships. Years later, the relationship is a nightmare. They call themselves a victim. Everybody else wants to rush and help them, and you move on with life. You see, some things you got to deal with at the root. If you do it right in the beginning, God can bless it. If you do it right in the beginning, God will cause it to prosper. But we're trying to get God to bless our messes. And God cannot and will not and will never do it. You may have some suckers that will do it, but God won't. And you go a lot farther with God's blessings and his promises than you ever can on your own, ever. It doesn't say blessed are the disobedient. Can I get on a soapbox for a minute? You sure? Thank you. I've gotten really tired over the years. I got to walk as, well, there's reasons for it, but people call you and they ask you for advice, and they do the exact opposite of what you ask them. And then it turns into chaos and calamity, and then they come whining. Don't come whine to me. If you ask me for advice and your mess is not blessed, don't come whine to me. You may go to Sister Marcia. She might feel sorry for you. Actually, don't go to Sister Marcia. She ain't gonna feel sorry for you. I know Sister Marcia. Jerome might feel sorry for you. It depends upon the day. I don't know. I'm trying to think of some of y'all. See, if I won't call you out, because then if I do, you're going to think I'm just being mean. When God gives you good advice in your life, he gives you people that to steer you in the right direction. It's to keep our worlds from turning into a big mess. Part of God's blessing is giving us sound wisdom, giving us counsel. That's why the Bible says in a multitude of counselors, there's safety. There's safety. But people just make their own decisions and expect God to pick up the pieces and bless it. But he doesn't bless messes. He never will. He cannot. What I'm trying to say is you'd go a whole lot farther in life learning to let God bless what you do. But for God to bless it, it's got to be according to the word. And so he doesn't bless those that violate the word. The world may applaud these things. Social media may celebrate them. Culture may excuse them. But Jesus never blessed what God forbade. Never. I heard something today that just annoyed me. I get annoyed more. Brother Chris, it's because I'm older now. And I've heard this said a lot of times before. I heard it on the radio, of course. Go figure that one. Jesus is chasing you. Praise God. There's not one scripture that says Jesus chases you. There's not one scripture. You know what that is? That's a feel-good thought. Jesus doesn't chase me. He's never chased me. I pursue him. I desire him. And then he makes himself available to me. But we wanna convince ourselves that we can live in a mess and Jesus will chase me down and say, oh, let me fix it for you. That is not the gospel. He doesn't chase us down. The Bible says he's come to seek and to save that which is lost. He doesn't go around and say, are you lost? Are you lost? Are you lost? Are you lost? I'm here for you. Are you lost? No. He's looking for those that are looking for an answer. He doesn't hunt them down. He doesn't go knock on their door. That's not biblical either. You know what is Bible? If we knock, seek and you shall find, ask and it shall be given, knock and it shall be opened unto you. The Bible says he invites us, come unto me, you are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. That's an invitation to come unto him. He sends the shepherds to find us, to go and look for the lost sheep. That's a situation of danger. That's somebody who has erred in their way, and they need a shepherd to go and bring them back into the fold. That's different than Jesus hunting us down. And he draws us unto him. He draws us. He woos us. Again, but we have created this understanding in the church that no matter who we are or what we do, God will just bless it all because he's such a good God. He's a great God. He gave the formula to live a blessed life. And that's why it should not come as a surprise that he said, you want to be blessed, be persecuted. You want to be blessed, don't worry about it when people are talking evil about you and spreading lies about you. Why? Because you're doing it for the gospel's sake. And because of that, God will bless you. And what does he promise? He doesn't say, I'm gonna pay your mortgage off. No, he says, when you get to heaven, you're going to be blessed. You're going to have blessing like you never knew blessing existed. And so I think it's very important that we stop as a church, not just this local church, but any church, celebrating and condoning people's messes. I had 1.5 yeps. It is important that we stop celebrating and condoning people's messes. Here's the deal. You have a right to make all your own decisions. That's your right. It's your privilege. Whether they're good decisions, bad decisions, you can make your own decisions. But if your decisions cause you turmoil and calamity in your life and you can't afford your decisions, don't knock on my door. Don't knock on the church door. And don't be a coward and jump on social media and beg for money. I'm not trying to be cruel. I'm really not. I'm just saying we have created a culture of blessing people's messes, but that's not God. And the reason that matters is because we've got too many people living underneath or beneath what they should be and how they should be living because of God's true promises and because of his true blessings. And so they're living beneath that, never rising to it, never experiencing the true blessings of God because too many people are bailing out too many messes. When you don't listen, you're not a victim. You're not a victim. I'm trying to just really drive a point home today. And I don't believe the church should feel sorry for them. You can love people without feeling sorry for them. Sometimes you say, hey, I told you not to do that. And I know, and then, oh, no, you shouldn't say I told you to. Sometimes you should say I told you so. You know where a lot of people misconfuse, I don't know if that's a right word, a real word or not, but where they misconfuse God, here's where. People will step out of the will of God. Now listen to me. They'll step out of the will of God. And then God will do things there. And they think that is a sign it's the will of God. But God will always try to get us back on track in the right direction. Sometimes, listen, I wish you'd hear me for a second. Sometimes you got to look back on your life and you got to say, you know what? I was an idiot. And I made stupid decisions. And because of that, I created that atmosphere in my life because I was out of the will of God and I was trying to get God to bless my mess, but God doesn't do that. He doesn't do it. Listen, I'm your best friend. Somebody that will tell you that, help you understand really what it means to be blessed is to be in God's will. Just look at the word. If the word supports your lifestyle, then you're okay. If it doesn't, it's a mess. And God can't bless a mess. Some people have created their messes. It's time that we teach people to get themselves back under God's umbrella so he can bless their life again. Now, there's no situation God can't turn around. I know I'm kind of teaching a little bit, and I'm probably boring you, and you probably want me to know whatever. But there's no situation God can't turn around. But we can't continue making the same dumb moves and dumb decisions. I mean, they are dumb. I've made some really dumb decisions in my life. I look back, and I think, God, were you dumb? I do. I say that. I have those conversations with myself. I don't know if you do. I do. I think that was just dumb. How could you be so dumb? Thank God for grace, because you were dumb. You've heard people say this before. I still made more money in a secular job in 2003 than what I received from the church today. And we have more now than I ever had back then. Now we tithe. We've always tithed. I don't know if we were off. I don't know. I think we tithe appropriately. Maybe we didn't. But there are other things in my life that just weren't right. And so God has a way of really blessing you when you do it God's way and when you're in God's will. He has a way of just really blessing you. And I know that's hard for some people to take that major leap of faith, but you'll never know God the way you will until you live under his blessings. It's not a fancy story. God doesn't want us begging for money. God doesn't want us always selling a pity party. I mean, imagine this. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of the King. And I'm always begging somebody to help me out. Well, is that the way the King treats his children? You always on Facebook asking someone to send you something again this week? I wish there were people here that should be here tonight. I wish you send this message to people that need to hear it tonight. Because I personally don't have the time nor the energy anymore to continue to condone people's messes, because I've watched some of it go on for so long. It's one decision to change course and to vow to yourself, I will live under God's covering. I will live under his protection. I will live within his provision, and I will experience God's blessings. And sometimes those blessings mean I get persecuted for my decisions and for my lifestyle. But that's okay, because God will bless it. And if God blesses it, nothing can come against it. Nothing can harm you when God blesses it. We need people to live according to God's word so they can be blessed. And so the true question is this: is my life truly blessed? Are we simply comfortable in our mess? It's very hard, and I'm going to bring this to a close in a moment. It's very hard for people sometimes to swallow the pill of, yeah, I didn't do it right. All right, I'm going to talk to the young single girls. That's what I'm going to talk to you for a minute, because I can't talk to some of you who are already beyond all that. If you're young and you're single, maybe even you might be able to be married. Now, let's just say the single ones. If you go out there and you find a guy that's not in church, not serving God, you wind up pregnant, you're not a victim. You're not a victim. Listen to me. I know I get crucified in public for this stuff. And I know they're streaming, and that's quite all right. But don't bother me. You're not a victim. If you're a young man and you go find a girl out of the church and she persuades you and you wind up getting her pregnant, you're not a victim. You're not a victim. You made a decision. You didn't listen to counsel. You didn't listen to God's word. And now you've got a mess. Now, can God bless that mess? Eventually, God can he can turn that ship around. He can bless the whole dysfunctional situation. But you've got to acknowledge it first. You got to stop doing it. And then you got to bring yourself back under God's covering in order for him to intervene and bless it. So there's always a way of escape. But I find too many people living in that, and they never change, and their life is a train wreck. It's not fair. It's just not fair to bring children into this world without a stable home. It's just not fair. That's the most selfish act that anybody could ever commit. Now, I got to cross all my T's and dot all my I's. I understand there are people that didn't plan for that, and that's not the way it was. It may have turned out that way, and I understand there are reasons that are out of your control. I understand that, but I'm not going to allow that to be the rule. There are exceptions. There are things that genuinely happen. I'm talking about people who dive into it, especially knowing the Lord. People who didn't know the Lord, and those things happened, different story. But we got too many Christians now. They know truth. They know right and wrong. But they continue to pursue their own lusts and ambitions, and then they want to turn themselves into victims. Honey, come play with me so I can get ready to close, please. I've had people that they'll start to go out there and after all that God has done, they make a mess of their life. They go right back. The Bible calls it a dog returning to her vomit for a reason. Because that's what it is. The Bible doesn't say, Oh, honey, it's okay. You made a mistake. I understand. Jesus understands. Jesus got your back. No, he says, you're like a dog returning to your vomit. And people get there, and then, and here's what they do. God, I got to be careful how I say this, because I want everybody to always have an opportunity, always know that there's a way back. And I try to really stress that with people. But they want you to condone their mess, or you're a big meanie and a bigot now. Because they want to get comfortable in their sin. They don't want the conviction. That's the worst thing in the world you can do. Worst thing in the world you can do. Horrible. Horrible. Horrible parenting. Horrible grandparenting. Horrible. There's no word stronger. If there's a stronger word than horrible, someone give it to me. But if my child ever falls away from God and they're going the wrong way, I'm telling you, I'm going to be right in your face. And I'm going to tell you, you know, I've tried to prove to you over the years how much I love you. But you're acting like a fool now, and God can't bless this mess. Listen, some kids have gone astray because of our teaching. Can we be honest? It's okay. Listen, that's repentance when you acknowledge that. But when we won't repent and acknowledge it, God can never fix it. He can fix it once we decide we're going to be honest about it. That's fact. That's what repentance is. It's not, God, I'm sorry, and continue doing the same stuff. And so, blessing isn't about ease. It is about alignment. When we are aligned with God's perfect will, He can do anything, anything, anything. It's not about doing what feels good. It's about walking in what is right. And sometimes what feels like loss on the earth is actually heavenly gain. And so Jesus closes by saying, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Why? Because when you live according to His word, even when it costs you things in this life, you're standing in the same line as the prophets. And your reward is secure. So what I'm asking you to do is to examine your life, not by world standards, but by Jesus' own words. The greatest blessing is not having everything you want. It's being exceedingly glad, knowing that you are exactly where God wants you to be. I said some tough things, and the only reason for that is people will never know until we no longer condone those things. When we condone things, what we're doing is we're propping them up and allowing them to live in that mess. But what we need to be doing is helping them understand, listen, God can, He can fix this, but not until you turn it over to Him. And you bring yourself back into alignment with the will of God and the Word of God. Thanks. I want people to be blessed. I want God's people to be blessed. I want to see people living with purpose, not living like they're lost. I want to see people live with hope, not living with hopelessness. People living with joy, not living with grief. And it all comes down to aligning yourself with God's will. Now, when you talk about finances, and I'm trying to shut this down. When you talk about finances, read Malachi. Read the first chapter of Malachi. He says, because you left, see what had happened is following the Babylonian captivity, the churches that were burned, the temple was burned down, and they never repaired it. They come back into Jerusalem, and they did nothing with it. I think a year had gone by. And finally, God stepped in. He said, listen, he said, how is it that you go home to your nice house with your nice ceiling that's not leaking and all this stuff? You say God don't care about the building? Throw this in someone's face next time they say that. He says, and you're leaving my house go empty and still broken down, and you still haven't fixed the breaches or whatever. You haven't fixed the leaks. And so God says, until you do, he said, everything you put in your bag, your money bag, is going to be like putting it in a bag with holes in it. It's just going to disappear. That's why people, they don't know where their money goes. They don't have a clue where their money goes, because God isn't blessing it. It's like an endless cycle. It's like an endless pit. But when you understand that God is so true to his word, he promises to bless what you give when you give with a cheerful heart. Nicole, I'm going to call you out publicly. She's like, oh God. No, not, no, you're Natalie. That's Nicole. You don't even know your name? I know my wife was miserable when she had to go back to work after our first son was born. She would cry every day. Broke my heart. And I know that's hard for a mom. And I know you're going back to work soon if you haven't started. You may come to a point where you have to say, God, I need you to bless our home so I can stay home with my baby. And you're going to put that in God's hands. It's going to be scary, but God will give you the desire of your heart, and he'll bless your home because you're faithful to him. There's no place God wants you to be more than with your child. No place. And so if that day comes and you say, I can't do it, but I can't, don't worry about the I can't. God can. God can. God can bless your situation so you don't have to be in that mess. That's what God does. If you're here today and your finances are in shambles, I'm trying to stop. I get people talk to me, and I know they make decent, and I'm like, where's your money go? I mean, some of you young guys, you got like no bills. I'll tell you where your money goes. Look at your Amazon cart. Need. And it's not needs, it's wants. We cannot ascertain wants and needs. When you got a baby coming into this world, time to put the video games away. Well, I should get to have some fun. No, you shouldn't. You made a decision. No, you shouldn't. You now have a responsibility. But guess what? When you take care of your responsibility, God will bless your home. He'll bless your health. He'll bless your family. He'll bless those children. Why? Because you're living under God's covering. I got to stop, man. I want to make sure I drive this so far home that you're talking about it in your sleep tonight. God wants his people living a blessed life. But a blessed life is not doing what I want, how I want. It's not ignoring advice, ignoring counsel. It's not living in sin and knowing you're living in sin, but making excuses for it. It's not sitting in church, but never paying attention. It's not never changing anything about yourself. A blessed life is, let me get in this word and let me see what the word says about my situation, my life. It's that simple. Your marriage doesn't have to be in turmoil. God can bless your marriage if it's in alignment. You know how it gets in alignment? First, we're aligned with God. Then we're aligned with God's word. There's an order in the home, period. Not but and if and how and when. There is an order in the home that's a God-sanctioned order. When we live according to that order, our home will be blessed. I was talking to Bishop Ellis the other day, and we were talking about preachers that have fallen away from God. And I'm going to tell you what he said to me. And I absolutely 190,000% agree. He said, Brother Scott, he said, in all my years of ministry, He said, every time I watched a preacher fall away from God and fall out of truth, he said, in every situation, his wife was leading the home. In every situation. And I begin to think, I can think of preachers all over the place. It's a fact. That's not God's order. I didn't say the woman doesn't have a voice in the home. I didn't say the woman, I know, again, dot, cross. I didn't say that the woman doesn't have her place. But the order is God's. It's in your Bible and not just mine. It remains the same. And that's not always easy. There's trust issues, but those do not negate God's word and his order. Your trust issues do not change God's word. And trust issues are all across the board. If you don't trust your spouse, I promise you don't trust almost nobody else in the world either. It's not your spouse. That's what I'm trying to tell you. It's trust. Now, your spouse may have done things that's violated that trust. And what they have done is they've expanded upon your inability to trust. But that's not the root. The root of a lack of trust goes way down deep, way down deep. And I've always said, Brother TJ, we've heard it said for years, well, you got to earn my trust. There's not one person alive that can earn another person's trust. It's not even possible. You have to choose to put your trust in people. When you find someone you fall in love with, you know why they say love is blind, don't you? Because we're dumb. And we don't see any of their wrong, nothing. You know, parents warn you, they advise you, and you still do it anyway. Now, sometimes it works out for the better, thank God. I see some people there, hey, listen, if my wife's parents had their way, we wouldn't be together either. They got it wrong. Someone's got to tell them. I'm done. God, I want you to bless these people. Father, if I want you with all of my heart to bless them, you want to bless them. God, it is your will. It is your way to bless the people of God. But we've got to be under your covering. We've got to be in your will. We've got to live according to the word. Our homes have to be aligned according to the word. And God, if we'll do this, you'll bless us. You promised it. You promised it. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the peacemakers. Let it start in my home and let it end with my neighbors. Oh, I want you to bless your people, oh God. I want them to experience your blessings the way I've experienced them. God, I want them to see it and believe it with all of their heart that you are a righteous God. You are a just God. You are an able God. You are a mighty God. There's nothing outside of your reach. There's nowhere that you can't touch if we will live according to your word and your way. Folks, before I put this microphone down, please reach for your blessing tonight. Tell God I'm going to be in alignment. God, show me if there's areas in my life. Ask him that, please, so he can bless your home. Those of you with new babies, so he can bless your children as they grow. God must bless them or the world will swallow them up. You need God's blessing. Jesus. Jesus.
And great are you, Lord. And great are you, Lord. Oh, how great. And great are you, Lord. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the dark. You give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. And great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. You give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. And great are you, Lord. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. And great are you, Lord. All the earth, and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. And great. You get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. Oh my soul, and come on my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song, 'cause you got a lion. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord.
Oh yes, come on my soul.
Come on my soul. Oh, don't you get shy on me, lift up your song. 'Cause you got a lion.
Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I have nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah. Again and again, 'cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, but I've nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah.